This is the Living Prophets Podcast, and I am your host, Mark Maxmeister. This episode is about Jubilee. I don't know if you are familiar with the idea, but there is a concept in the ancient Hebrew scriptures called the Jubilee, and I'm going to read from the book of Leviticus, where they describe in great detail what this means, for I feel like the Jubilee has a lot of parallels with what we are experiencing in the year of COVID-19, 2020. Count off 7 Sabbath years, 7 times 7 years, so that 7 Sabbath years amount to a period of 49. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land for all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee to you, for each of you is to return to your family, property, and to your own clan. What they mean here is that in the time of the Israelites, there were indentured servants and slaves, and all of those slaves' debts would be canceled on the year of the Jubilee, and people would return to their homes. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines, for it is a jubilee and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. If you sell land to any of your own people or buy land from them, do not take advantage of each other. When the years are many, you are to increase the price, and when they are few, you should decrease it, because what is really being sold is the number of crops and not the land. Do not take advantage of each other, but fear your God. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. You may ask, what will we eat in the 7th year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the 6th year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the 8th year, you will eat from the old crop and continue to eat from it until the harvest of the 9th year comes in. Throughout the land that you hold as a possession, you must provide for your redemption. It continues to go on in great detail, like some sort of legal text. What's interesting is that this is a blueprint for a reset button for the entire society of the Israelites. And there are some underlying themes. One is that the people here are really just visitors on this earth. We are stewards of the land, but we do not own anything. Another theme is that everything we have is not permanent. A person can be wealthy, but if the way that they acquired all that great land was through any of these transactions that by modern standards are totally immoral, like slavery and conquest, all of that would be nullified in the year of the Jubilee. And in fact, if you know the year of the Jubilee is coming, you can't simply try to get as much as you can out of the land. Another concept is the idea that we have to be in balance. Jubilee was a year of rest where the fields would remain fallow. And even in the Middle Ages, people would follow the same pattern of having a field planted for 6 years, and on the 7th year they would let it grow wild. The reason I'm bringing this up is because as the economic upheaval of this moment continues to spread out and create problems that we've yet to even conceive of, I can totally imagine coming to a point where an economic reset like the global jubilee would make more sense than trying to continue to prop up a fundamentally cracked and broken system. Just for a year, this jubilee could actually provide us with a reset that would allow us to then start our economic well-being in a completely different way that might be more equitable, but also more prosperous for everyone. So you may be wondering, what would the jubilee look like in our modern era? Well, here's just a list of things I came up with that would make sense. We could say that the 2020 jubilee begins by canceling rent for all renters during the COVID-19 crisis. We could cancel the debt that would have been collected during this time. We could give everyone something I might call a manna wage. If you remember, the Israelites were given daily bread in the desert for the 40 years that they wandered. A manna wage is the minimum monthly money that provides for basic food, shelter, and health care until we all agree that the economy is back. It's your basic universal income. We could allow service hours to be used as currency at some agreed-to exchange rate. This way, everything that could be done to strengthen communities could still happen, and it could be used as a way of giving those without work the feeling of being useful and allowing their talents to propagate. This could also help with the 100,000 contact tracers that just the United States will need in order to reopen. So what would be analogous to God's requirement that people obey his rules in order to be sheltered during the year of the Jubilee? Well, we could let those who abide by the COVID-19 shelter-in-place orders be guaranteed the FDR's and Norman Rockwell's four basic freedoms.
Freedom of speech and expression. Freedom of every person to worship God in his own way. Third, freedom from want. The fourth is freedom from fear.
Freedom from want, freedom from fear, freedom of worship, and freedom of conscience and speech. Instead of trying to reopen the economy immediately, focus on maximizing the ecological benefits of the shutdown. We'll never have a time just like now where we have no alternative but to help the earth and combat climate change and climate chaos. Even if we reverse the shutdown today, the economy simply would not spring back. Too much has already happened, and it's off the rails to where you can't just reverse it tomorrow. The economy is currently off and will remain off until there's a vaccine or until everyone who needs a test can get a test every day. We're not there. We're only about 5 to 10% of where we need to be before the testing would be in line with what's needed to be able to stop this. So if we borrow the wisdom of our spiritual ancestors in looking at the Jubilee as a blueprint, we would be maximizing the benefit of this crisis to the earth instead of fighting nature and acting like we lord over all nature.
It's a blessing and a privilege to be in service one more time. Oh, it's a blessing.
Have you ever wondered what is the difference between a blessing and a privilege? A blessing for me is something that is bestowed upon me. It's not something I earn. It's given freely and without transaction. It's something given to me, and the best I can do is give to other people, which are blessings to them. A privilege is something that you are born into. It arises out of the accident of one's birth, and a person who is born with privilege often is completely unaware of the privilege that he or she has. They expect it because that is their station in life. There's a reason that people sit down at dinner every night and say a blessing. It's helping them remember and put into action the feeling that they should have that what they are given each day is providence from God. Same thing applies to the earth. Instead of thinking of us as stewards of the earth, visitors in the land of strangers, where we are not in control, you could think of us as masters over nature, owners of land, but that would be wrong because, as you can see, that thought process is precisely what got us to a point where the earth is now in an unsustainable rate of growth, and it's not providing enough for everyone. There's more than enough on the earth right now to provide enough food and water and shelter and contentment for 10 billion people. But the way that we've been running things, we end up throwing away food. For us to be able to flip that mentality, that is one of the blessings of this crisis. It's not that I would ever wish a COVID-19 crisis on the world just for them to learn this lesson, but it's here. So let's learn some lessons from it about what the world is and how we can live in the world in a different way. You can either put your head in the sand and try not to pay any attention to what's going on, or you can perk your ears up and start to pay attention to the things that have been in front of you. Have you noticed the kind of desperation that commercials on TV have these days, where people have simply stopped buying? So they don't know what to do. They're afraid that if people persist this way, maybe they'll begin to realize that they don't have to spend a lot of money on things that they're being told to buy. It is not patriotic to go buy something just because the economy needs it. The economy is not a god, even though we act that way. What would be spiritually grounding is to take that same money and that same mindfulness and put it into finding out what our neighbors need. And all of you can do this. I can do this. So whenever you see someone who's trying to sell you something in the name of patriotism, take a step back and think about whether or not they're really selling you that for the benefit of the world or for the benefit of a few. I'm going to read some excerpts from this post on the Medium from a month ago when the quarantine started, called Prepare for the Ultimate Gaslighting by Julio Vincent Gambuto. In truth, you want the feeling of normalcy, and we all want it. We want desperately to feel good again, to get back to the routines of life, to not lie in bed at night wondering how we're going to afford our rent and bills, to not wake in an endless scroll of human tragedy on our phones, to have a cup of perfectly brewed coffee and simply leave the house for work. The need for comfort is real, and it will remain strong. And every brand in America will come to your rescue, dear consumer, to help take away that darkness and get life back to the way it was before the crisis. I urge you to be well aware of what is coming. But when the problem is emotional or fear-based, the fix becomes a new staple in your life, and you become a lifelong loyalist. Coca-Cola makes you happy. A Mercedes makes you successful. Taking your family on a Royal Caribbean cruise makes you special. Smart marketers know how to highlight what brands can do for you to make your life easier and more fulfilling. But brilliant marketers know how to rewire your heart. And make no mistake, the heart is what has been most traumatized last month. We are, as a society, now more vulnerable in a whole new way. The treadmill you've been on for decades has just stopped. Bam! And what feeling you have right now is the same as if you'd been thrown off your Peloton bike and onto the ground. What in the holy world just happened? I hope you might consider this. What happened is inexplicably incredible. It's the greatest gift ever unwrapped in the history of humankind. Not the deaths, not the virus, but the great pause. It is, in a word, profound. Please don't recoil from the bright light beaming through your window. I know it hurts your eyes. It hurts mine too. But the curtain is open. What the crisis has given us is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see ourselves and our country in the plainest of views. At no other time ever in our lives have we gotten the opportunity to see what would happen if the world simply stopped. Well, we're in the middle of it. Stores are closed, restaurants empty, streets and six-lane highways barren. Even the planet itself is rattling less. True story. And because it is rarer than rare, it has brought to light all of the beautiful and painful truths of the world in which we inhabit. It feels weird, because it has never happened before. If we want to create a better country and a better world for our kids, if we want to make sure we are even sustainable as a nation, we have to pay attention to how we feel right now. I can't speak for you, but I imagine you feel as I do. Devastated, depressed, heartbroken, disoriented. Our way of life is not without purpose, and the economy at its core is not evil. They are all part of a system that keeps us living long and living strong. We have lifted more humans out of poverty through the power of economics than any other civilization in history has through any other means. American consumerism is a force for good, but its flaws have been laid bare, the flaws of capitalism. It doesn't work for everyone. It is responsible for the Great Depression and great destruction around the world. Its intentions have been perverted over the generations. and the protection it offers us has disappeared, we now see. We're still looking for answers on how to fix capitalism. But until then, stay steady. What is about to be unleashed on the society in which you live will be the greatest campaign ever created to get you to feel normal again, according to this person. It will come from brands, from government. It'll come from your neighbors. It'll come from the left and from the right. We will do anything, spend anything, believe anything, just so we can go back to how it was the day before. And on top of that, just to turn the screw that much more, it'll be one effort that's even greater. The all-out blitz to make you believe you never saw what you just saw about the world stopping. The air wasn't really cleaner. Those images are fake. The hospitals really weren't a war zone. Those stories were hyperbole. The numbers were not that high. The press is just exaggerating and doesn't have the facts. You didn't see people in mass standing in the rain risking their lives to vote. Not in America. You didn't see the leader of the free world push an unproven miracle drug like a late-night infomercial salesman. All of that was just behind the curtain. But remember, you did see all those things. The message here is to pay attention and listen, because the world can't forgive us for forgetting everything we learned in this year and acting like we can just go back to the moment before the crisis and expect everything in the future to just fix itself by some miracle. While miracles may happen and have happened, the miracle of our own intelligence and our own free will to use that intelligence to make the world better is always the thing that I rely on. At no point in history have we had a greater capacity to do more good, to solve more problems at a faster rate, to even colonize other planets. That's possible. We have the resources to do that. We may not be successful the first time, but all of this is to say that the miracle that we've all been looking for is right here within us. I don't know where the time will come for all these things, but I do know that it starts with having the intention to pursue a vision. I think in the last episode of this podcast, I took an excerpt from JFK talking about why it's important to go to the moon. And the one line in there that people have heard, but probably not really thought about to the extent that what he meant in 1963, was to say,
"We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard."
What he meant, what John F. Kennedy meant by saying that, months just after the Cuban Missile Crisis made it very clear to the world that we could blow ourselves up in the blink of an eye, in the stretch of a span of a week, that somebody needed to step up and prevent that by presenting another, loftier, far-reaching vision of the type of humanity that we could become to grow into. To do those things that are hard is to say that we are going to plant a tree that won't reap any fruit for 30 years, and I may not live to see that, but the tree will live beyond me, and that's how visions work.
"We choose to do it because it is hard" means to affirm that our purpose as humans is to steward the world, to secure blessings for all out of the privilege we inherited, to reimagine capitalism as a temporary endeavor against a permanent vision of promoting life and livelihoods for all. Imagine how dramatically reinstating the Jubilee every 50 years would reorient our world toward what benefits humanity instead of what benefits me. So why did the Israelites stop practicing the Jubilee? Well, human nature. When the desires of a privileged few to keep their wealth outweighed the pleas and plight of the many, they came up with reasons to ignore this part of God's law. But the wisdom endures. There is no equity without scarcity, no justice without sacrifice. That's what the Jubilee is about. And when the pandemic lockdown lifts, we won't be rebooting the economy as before. We will be starting something new. I don't know quite what it will be, but I want to be part of it.
This has been the Living Prophets Podcast. I encourage you to share this with your friends, and stay safe and stay sane until next time.